Welcome everyone along tonight in our Saviour's precious name. It's good to see each one gathered. I wonder if we could turn to the hymn 307 as our opening praise this evening. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me has been made known, nor why, unworthy as I am, he claimed me for his own. The hymn 307, and we'll stand as we sing, please. I wonder if we could turn our Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 15. And we're going to read from verse 9 of the chapter, John's Gospel chapter 15. And beginning our reading at the 9th verse of the chapter. John chapter 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing again to the reading of his word. Isaiah chapter 28, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 28, and beginning at verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand the crown of pride. The drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, and for a diadem of beauty upon the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lions, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon.
that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consummation, even determined upon the whole earth. Amen. We know that the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts for his name's sake. We're taking that verse 20 there as our text. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. Short beds and narrow blankets. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We thank thee for thy word to our hearts, and we rejoice even tonight in the day of judgment and the day when thou wast wrath against thy people. Yet, our God, we thank thee for this promise of the great cornerstone, the sure cornerstone, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee in the midst of all of the judgment that was spoken of here. We thank thee for the great hope that there is outlined for us in our Saviour. And we pray that he might be seen tonight, that Christ might be uplifted in the midst, and that thou wouldst draw our hearts to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. I was reading there not that very long ago about a widow woman, a widow who is only 28 years of age. And while she was only 28, she had been a widow for 5 years at that time. So she had been widowed when she was 23 years of age. She was a widow of an American soldier, an American serviceman. And they had married, they had two children at that time, and the soldier or the armed serviceman had been away on duty many times. He had been overseas doing duty, I don't know where it was, Iraq, Afghanistan, or some of those places anyway. He had been away many times doing his duty, and they had been parted from one another. This time he came home, and the family had a miscarriage. And as a result of that, of course, it brought great sorrow into the family. Now, whether it was that or it was something that was said to him by his wife, anyway, the wife began to notice that this man was becoming very unstable. He was changing in his personality. It became that he couldn't sleep. He would go to bed at night, but he would lie awake all night. And there was no sleep. And she became very anxious about him. She told him to go to the doctor with these complaints, this fact that he couldn't sleep. He was very emotional at times. And she wanted him to go and get himself sorted out. But because he was a soldier, because of the comrades, he didn't want his comrades to hear that he'd been with the doctor or that there was any weakness in him. He didn't want to admit any weakness. And so he wouldn't go to the doctor. But eventually, unfortunately, the man committed suicide. He'd killed himself. And his widow afterwards wanted to investigate what exactly had happened to her husband. And she did a little bit of research, and she found out that what was wrong with her husband was post-traumatic stress. And because of the post-traumatic stress, it had left him that he wasn't able to sleep. He wasn't able to get rest. And at least partly as a result of that, the man had taken his own life. And you can see that sleep is so very vital for us. It is vital for our health. It is vital for our mental well-being. It is vital for all aspects of life. We need to get our sleep. And so the picture here that is given of the children of Israel having a short bed and narrow blankets is a very poignant one. It is a very dramatic one. Because here were these people. You've read the chapter. We've read it together tonight. You can see the condition of the land at the time. We read about the priests being taken with strong drink. And the repetition there is of the fact that they err in vision, they stumble in judgment because of strong drink. We read how that later on it speaks about their scorn for the things of God and how they were mocking God. It says here in verse 22, "Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consummation even determined upon the whole earth." Now here's the condition of the land. And it seems here that the people were trying to cover over these things. The strong drink, the scorning and mocking of God, and all these things that are mentioned in this chapter. And the picture of the short beds and the narrow blankets is of these people trying to cover over their sin and their iniquity. They're trying to come with a place of rest, but they've a short bed. It doesn't really give them rest. And then they're trying to cover over their sins, but they've a narrow blanket. And no matter how they try to cover themselves over, there's always something exposed. There's always something, as it were, outside of the blankets in the cold. And so they can't cover over their sin with these narrow blankets. And here we have the picture of so many in our day and generation. We live in a day of sin and in a day of iniquity. And we have a day when strong drink is freely available. And so many people, you almost cannot have a party in some circles. You can't have a get-together unless there's drink involved. And there are so even some of God's people today, unfortunately, have got involved with the strong drink. And we see the sin that is pervading the land in this day. And so many are seeking to find refuge in short beds and narrow blankets. Well, dear friend, if that is you tonight, I want us to think about what it is, really, to trust in a short bed and in a narrow blanket. What really is it to try and trust in something that at the end of the day will let you down? Well, first of all, then, I want you to see that a short bed and a narrow blanket speaks of something that is uncomfortable. If you think about the restless night that people will have. Now, I'm not too tall, but I'm sure that even those of you that maybe you think yourself might be shorter than average, but even you, even the children perhaps, you've slept perhaps in a place that is narrow, confined. And at the start of the night, you can roll up in a ball and you can get yourself a little bit comfortable and you can lie down there. And at the start, well, that's so very fine, until it comes to the point where you want to stretch out. And when you want to stretch out, that is the time when it becomes awkward. And then you really do want to stretch out and you're not able to do it. And eventually that becomes a bone of contention in your mind, and you really do want to stretch out, and at times maybe that will rob sleep from you because you want to stretch out and you can't do it, and then that makes you uncomfortable, and eventually it comes to the point where you can think about nothing else, only stretching out. It becomes something that really gets on your mind and on your heart. So here is a picture of them being uncomfortable. Now, here is the Lord, and of course this picture here speaks of something, and it speaks about the uncomfortableness of sin, because sin leaves you uncomfortable. Now, like rolling up in a bed that is too short for you, you can be very comfortable in your sin for a measure of time. You can really enjoy your sin for a measure of time. You can feel as if the greatest thing that you are able to sin and you're able to do these things and they bring that certain amount of pleasure to you and all the rest of it. But it comes to the time where sin begins to make you uncomfortable. And it becomes uncomfortable, first of all, because of the conviction that comes along with it. You see, you cannot sin unless conviction begins to speak. Sin will always bring conviction. I think of the psalmist in Psalm 32 who said, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." It says in Psalm 38 and verse 4, that's Psalm 32, the first one, but Psalm 38 verse 4, "For mine iniquities have gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." Now maybe you can acknowledge that today. You can think about the burden of your sin, the burden that it brings, that burden on your back, and that thing, that conscience that is speaking in your heart and is always there, and it's always jabbing you, and it's always speaking to you about that thing that you did, that thing that you were involved in, and it brings it back, and by it makes you uncomfortable. I was reading about men and women under a powerful conviction. It was just in the decades after John Wesley. After John Wesley's death in 1791, there was a great Methodist preacher by the name of William Bramwell. And he was a revivalist evangelist in the Methodist movement. And this is how he described one meeting that he was in. He says, and I quote, "I had not discoursed long when the congregation melted into tears. This abated for a few moments, till a little boy about 7 or 8 years of age cried out exceeding piteously indeed, and wept as though his little heart would break. I asked the little boy what he cried for. He answered, 'My sins.' I then asked him what he wanted, and he answered, 'Christ.' And then he says, others were so earnest for a discovery of the Lord to their souls that their eager crying obliged me to stop, and I prayed for them as I saw their agonies and distress increased. Oh, the distress and anguish of their souls. Oh, the pains that were upon them." And then he says, "Many of the assembled were deeply affected, groaning and sobbing. There was a great weeping and mourning." Now, of course, that's a description of revival, perhaps. But there is that heightened conviction of sin. But perhaps tonight also, I'm hitting the point. There is a pain in your heart. There are times when, maybe even in your heart, you weep over your sin. You weep over your sin. Oh, is that so tonight? Is there that conviction in your heart? Is God speaking? Is there the little jibe tonight? Is there the thought that the preacher is putting his finger upon the pulse? And you mayn't like it tonight. You mightn't like it, but dear friend, you need the pain of conviction. It's like being in a short bed. You need to be made uncomfortable. I was reading during the week how that in the university, Wesleyan University in Oklahoma, one of the lecturers there was preaching a sermon in the college, and he was speaking about from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about the need to show love. And there was one of the students who was convicted about his need to show love to others. But instead of taking it up, he went to complain to the dean and to the faculty that this man was making him uncomfortable. And this was his home, and he shouldn't be made uncomfortable. And he was going to make a big fuss about being made uncomfortable by the sermon that was preached. And that is the thought in this day and generation. People don't like to be made uncomfortable. But I want to say today that you need to be made uncomfortable. You need to recognize that your sin will leave you in a short bed. Not only do you need to be made uncomfortable because of conviction, but because of realization. Because of a realization of what your sin is and where you stand. You know, so many people are indifferent and careless about the things of God and never think and just go on and go on and are in a sleepy condition. Oh, God needs to wake you out of your sleep. You need to get into a short bed. You need to have rest taken from you. Maybe some of you remember the disaster of the Herald of Free Enterprise way back. A number of years ago, the ferry from Zeebruges was sailing to Dover, the Herald of Free Enterprise was the name of it. And the captain put out to sea at 7 o'clock in the evening. And he got out into the sheltered harbour and everything was well. And he went out into the high seas. And as soon as they hit the waves of the high seas, the ferry capsized. And what had happened? Well, the second bosun, who was supposed to shut the car doors at the back of the ferry, had fallen asleep. And because of that, we find that 193 people perished in that place. Dear friend, you need to be awakened out of sleep. You need to come to realization of where you stand. The Bible says in Revelation 19 and 20 and verse 15 that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And dear friend, you need to recognize your need of conviction. A.W. Pink says, it is the deepening conviction of the writer that what is most needed today is a wide proclamation of those truths which are the least acceptable to the flesh. Oh, hear it tonight. Maybe tonight you're in the short bed of sin. Well, oh, that God would stir you up, that you might hear tonight. You know, that you might understand where you stand in the sight of a holy and a righteous God. So, it speaks here the short bed of being uncomfortable. Oh, that God will make you uncomfortable in our meeting tonight. But then being in a short bed with a narrow blanket speaks about something else. It speaks about being uncovered. Because as we said, a narrow blanket is not going to cover you. And you think of these people here and they were trying to cover themselves and trying to get out under the blankets and trying to get themselves comfortable and trying to get into a place where they could sleep and rest and never think about where they were going or what they were doing. And this short blanket was deficient for them because they could never get warm. They'd get it over their legs and the top of their body would be exposed. Or they'd get it over the top of their body and the legs would be exposed. Or their feet would be exposed. Or some part of their body would be exposed. And there was that uncovering that was taking place here. Now, the Bible speaks about the need of a covering. Your sin needs to be covered. It says in Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And men, women, you need to have your sins covered. And you need that covering that only the precious blood of the Savior can give. You know, there's a wrong way to try and cover your sins. You can try and cover it on your own self-righteousness. And many people try to do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 28 and verse 1, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There are people who try to cover their sins themselves. Cover them up. Try to hide them. Try to come to the place where they think that nobody knows. Are there sins that you've covered up? Are there things that you wouldn't want anybody else to discover? Are there things that you have carefully conspired to make sure that nobody else ever finds out? The Bible says, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. There's a wrong way of trying to cover your sins. You can try and cover your sins by denial. You can try and deny that you're a sinner. Dear friend, you can't cover your sins. There's only one way to cover your sins, and that is through the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Thank God the Savior died on the cross of Calvary, and he lived a life of perfect righteousness, and he kept the law in every part, and he lived a life that none other could live because he was the only sinless one. But thank God that he lived a life that we might have his righteousness given to us. Not only are our sins forgiven, but thank God his righteousness is imputed to us. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre contended that whatever man chooses to do is right. But you know, there are many today who want to do what is right in their own eyes. But it's not what you think is right. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And you might seek to cover over your sins, but thank God the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Are you forgiven tonight? Have you come to the one who's able to forgive, to wash your sins away, to make you white in the precious blood of the Lamb? The Bible says that he has been made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's only one covering that really covers our sins, and that's the righteousness of Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3:18, he said, I'm found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's the covering that you need. That's the only covering that'll give you rest in eternity. That's the only covering that will cover you over in the day when you stand before God in the judgment. Oh, dear friend, don't be trusting in the narrow blankets of self-righteousness or religion or denial of sin. You need to have the true blanket of God's forgiveness. So the short bed and the narrow blankets reminds us of uncomfortableness. It reminds us then of uncovering. And then it reminds us of something else, uncleanness. Because the picture that is given here of these people in rebellion against God, remember what the picture is of these people who have erred in strong drink, these people that have scorned God, these people that have mocked God, and God is saying, well, they're covered in these narrow blankets, and they're covered over, and what they're trying to do, of course, is cover their uncleanness. But always, because of the narrow blankets, there's an exposing of their uncleanness. Their uncleanness is always exposed. No matter how they try to cover over, they may cover one part one time and cover another part another time, but always is exposed. The Bible says that even one sin is enough to condemn. And you stand before the God who sees everything. And it doesn't matter what kind of blanket, whether narrow or whatever kind of blanket it is, if it's not the precious blood of Christ, then, dear friend, your sin will shine through. There is sin going to be exposed. There's sin. Look at verse 15. He says, because you've said, we've made a covenant with death, with hell, are we in agreement? Here were people who made a covenant with death and hell. Look at what they're saying. They're mocking. Look at verse 22. Now, therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. You know, people smile at the preacher today. People sneer at the gospel today. You go out into the open air, and by and large, you'll have some wag going past, beeping the horn, and maybe even shouting out through the window, and people think, well, I can mock at the gospel. I can mock at God. People think nothing of that today. You get newspaper columns mocking at the gospel and mocking at God and mocking at those that stand for the things that the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Oh, people try to cover themselves in their cleverness. They think they can cover themselves in their intellect. Seek to cover themselves in the science of this day, falsely so-called, because it is perverted by the preconditions or preconceptions of those that come up with the theories. No matter how you try to cover over your uncleanness, it's still exposed. Oh, dear friend, are you trying to cover yourself with a narrow blanket? They are unclean. But then they are unclever. Because here were these people, and no matter how they thought themselves, and no matter how they could scorn and mock at God, it says that they were spending miserable nights. The bed was too short, and the covers were too narrow. And all that they were doing at the end of the day was leaving themselves in misery, and leaving themselves without rest, and leaving themselves in a place where the thing that they were trusting in was letting them down. Maybe tonight you've chosen a short bed and a narrow blanket. Maybe you've chosen the short bed of good performances, my good works. The Bible says that by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. Oh, no one will get to heaven by what he's done or what he's achieved or anything that, like that. All our righteousness, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags in his sight. Maybe it's the short bed, not of good practice or good performances, but it is the short bed of grand profession. Maybe you've made a profession of faith at some time in your life, but it's not real. And you know it's not real because there is not that desire after God or the things of God in your heart. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Are you seeking to do his will? Are you troubled when you do that which is wrong? Is there that which brings you back to the feet of the Savior? Is there that which calls you? Do you hear the voice of God? Do you know that God is your Heavenly Father? Dear friend, if it is just a false profession today, then the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation has got to be real. It's got to make a difference. It's not some kind of intellectual knowledge. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. You can know all about the gospel and know the ins and outs of the gospel, but you know the Christ of the gospel. You know your sins forgiven. Is there the short bed of a grand profession? It could be tonight that you're trusting in the short bed of grievous procrastination. Maybe you've said to yourself, well, I need to get saved and I will get saved, but not today. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There are many people who have said, we'll get saved at the 11th hour, and they've died at 10:30. Dear friend, don't be presuming on the 11th hour, because you may never see it, and if you do, you may not have the faculties to be able to get right with God then anyway. And remember that the more you go on, the more hardened your heart becomes and the more difficult it is to get right with God. Don't be trusting in the short bed of grievous procrastination. The Bible says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There was a king many years ago who died, and the question was asked about this king, where is he in eternity? Where is he now? And of course the people said, of course he's in heaven. He's got to be in heaven. He's a great king, and so on and so forth. But there was a little counselor, one of the king's wise counselors, and he said, you know, I don't think he is. Because he said our king was a wise king. And he made many journeys. And every journey that he ever made, he made preparation for. He says, I don't remember him ever making preparation for a journey to heaven. And the wise counselor was right. Because, dear friend, you've got to make preparation for this journey. You've got to make preparation to get right with God. Do you know him today? Or are you resting in a short bed with a narrow blanket? And my, you've made the rudiments of the thing. At least you maybe say of a bed and a blanket. And you're, it looks perhaps in some angles like the real thing. It looks like God's salvation. And my, you've covered over in your morality, and you've covered yourself over in your righteousness and all the rest of it. But it's a short bed and a narrow blanket, and it'll not do. It'll not do. It'll only take away your sleep. You've got to get right with God. You've got to rest in him. Come to the place of peace and rest and contentment in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, don't be trusting in a short bed and in a narrow blanket. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight, and we pray that men and women will not be trusting in a short bed or a narrow blanket, but that they'll come to the one who's able to cover them wholly and completely in his own precious blood. O God, give help tonight and bless thy word to every heart, and be with us now and bless us even in the end of our meeting. Draw near, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And if God has spoken to you tonight, then we are your servants for the Lord's sake, and we'd love to point you to the Saviour. We're going to turn to the hymn.